You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Well-used Ford Galaxy. You probably have seen it's blue. If I'd have driven in a straight line, I worked out it's on its eighth lap of the world. But we don't drive in a straight line. And it plays games with us. Each time we use it, sometimes the doors lock, sometimes one door locks, sometimes the windows open when we unlock the car, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes you can get into second gear, and sometimes you can't get out of second gear. But I love it. It was given to us some many years ago, and when I first saw it, I thought, that is our car. The number plate is this. King James Version at the end. And I thought, it's a Bible. And although I don't use the King James Version, I felt it was like a little prompt that that was our car. And then when Heidi saw the number plate, she's a bit more spiritual, and she said, look, everything from our Saviour and King James Version. And so this little car has been really precious to us over many years. And it's been an old faithful. But during this year, I've got more apprehensive about how long it would last and concerned about how we'd be able to afford to replace it, to be honest. And should we get a loan? Should I send Haley out to teach more? should I start charging the kids rent? don't worry, Theo, I didn't need any others, so I won't you either. But should I withdraw money from a pension pot? How should I fund it? And then an amazing thing happened to me. And we were out at Adrian and Paula's house, and we were chatting about some respite care, whatever we were doing. And at the end of the evening, we were about to leave, and Adrian said, he was driving home the week before, and he felt the Lord say to him, give Sean and Haley your Land Rover Discovery. Now, Adrian trusts Jesus, he's obedient. And he just slipped it in at the end of the evening. And I was like in shock and said, I'd think about it. And and went home. And to be honest, I just didn't sleep that night. It started off like relieved. And it was like the solution to the galaxy. And not the whole galaxy, but my galaxy. Solution to the galaxy. And then I got excited. Wow, this is a new car. But then it got complicated, and I started to think, oh, crumbs, I'd need to tell the elders and trustees and be accountable so they could check out that I hadn't sort of bullied Adrian into it or manipulated him, because it's such a big gift. And then I started to think, what would you lot think if I drive up in that car? And it's a bit posh, you know, for me. It's got like white seats and things like that. And he'd probably think, oh, the church is paying him too much or something if I just turn up in a car like that. But and then I got concerned what it would look like when I met my fellow church leaders, you know, because if you've seen their cars, you'll know it's like a bit of a contrast from their cars. And I got concerned about how it might feel for Adrian and Paul. I have spoken to Adrian and Paul about this. So they know I was going to say this about telling them. To be honest, I got in a pickle about receiving this gift. Adrian said, I'm the hardest person to give gift to, and it probably is true. But then I can only describe it as like a spiritual moment, but something happened to me, and I felt the whisper of God say something really profound to me. I felt him just say, you see yourself like the galaxy, but I see you like the discovery. Do you know what? It completely knocked me off my feet. Completely was left field. Just felt the Holy Spirit say, you see yourself as an old faithful coming to the end of its useful life, not worth looking after, needing to be replaced. Yet I see you differently. I see you ready to discover a whole new lease of life. I tell you what, I mean, we need to get the next generation emerging and all that sort of stuff. But it was just a real moment for me earlier in the summer, coming out of this gift. It was a sort of wow moment for me. And then all sorts of things started to happen. Land Rover the biggest ever marketing campaign, used the phrase above and beyond. And it really began to hit me with that little phrase. It's a 4x4, goes off-road, finding new paths. The vehicle that goes on a new adventures. It began to speak to me about a phase of my life that I was going through. Now, God speaks in many ways, doesn't he? And gives guidance. I love Nikki Gamble's 5 CS's. You know, we don't just take guidance from one sort of in one way, do we? We go to the scriptures, commanding scriptures. We want to be spoken to by the Spirit. We use our common sense. We have the counsel of the saints. But there is a category, circumstantial signs. And I put this in the circumstantial signs category, that God was speaking to me. Now, I chatted to Ian, actually, in Fletcher, and to be accountable as I, you know, should I receive this gift? Sorry, it's so complicated, Adrian, I apologize. But and he made an interesting comment to me. He said he's always felt like the Galaxy was a Jubilee car. It's always at the different events, it's always hauling things around. And he suggested that this was actually a picture not just for me, but for the church. There was a new lease of life and discovery and an above and beyond extravagant blessing for us as a church. And that conversation with Ian helped me because it turned it from just something I was being blessed to, do you know, God's heart is for us to be blessed in this next coming season. So I've been talking with the elders, the staff, and there's a growing sense of faith that this idea of discovery is part of what God's got for us. So we want to name this year the year of discovery. Now, I want to talk a bit more about what we're going to go and discover, the new roads we want to adventure down. But before doing that, I want to build on a scriptural foundation from Luke chapter 9. So if you've got a Bible or an app or whatever you read the Bible on, pull it up. Luke chapter 9, verses 10 to 17. It's where Jesus feeds the 5,000. It's a story that will be familiar to you, but I believe the Lord wants to use it to encourage us as we set off on this next phase of our adventure. In Luke 9:1, we read this. When Jesus, in fact, you read it. Why don't you read it? You read it from the screen. When Jesus So at the beginning of this chapter, we see Jesus calls the disciples, he equips them with power and authority, and he sends them out. That's the first verse in chapter 9. And then in Luke, further on, in chapter 9, further on, verse 10, we read this. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they'd done. He'd called them, he'd equipped them, he'd sent them, and they came back, and they reported back to him what they'd done, and they were excited. If you read the story, you get that vibe. They were excited. They'd seen Jesus doing stuff, and then he'd sent them to go and do that same stuff, and that same stuff was happening when they were praying and talking and serving people. And so they came back full of excitement. Lord, you sent us, and all these things have been happening. And it was just a moment. You can just see it, can't you? It's going to be a bit like that next Sunday where we're saying, this is all that God's done through us for the last 20 years. The disciples had come back. They were excited with what had happened. And it says, he took them away with them and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. Now, wherever Jesus was, crowds came. That's what happened. Crowds came where Jesus was, because where Jesus was, there was healing. People were set free from their demons. Good stuff happened where Jesus was. And so this crowd came, And it says, Jesus welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Crowds came and Jesus welcomed them. Crowds searching for healing and forgiveness and freedom and love and life. What a day that must have been. I remember Selwyn Hughes telling me, he said, I'd cut off my right arm to have been there that day. Can you imagine it? Hearing him teach, sitting out on the hill. What a day. But the day began to come to a close. And in verse 12, we read that the 12 came to Jesus and said this, send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodgings, because we're in a remote place here. Send the crowd away. Wow. I sort of get what the disciples were saying. They probably had risk assessments in their mind and were being sensible, pragmatic. Perhaps they feared what the authorities would say. Perhaps they knew people get hangry and they just didn't want the hassle of having to deal with all the hangry people. Perhaps they had an internal narrative that we can't help all these people. They just need to go and fend for themselves, go and find their own shelter, their own sustenance, sort their own lives out. Or perhaps they were just jealous. After all, Jesus had invited them to withdraw with him for some R&R. And after they'd been serving him so well, perhaps they just wanted to get back in their huddle with Jesus. But they had forgotten that Jesus had welcomed the crowd. Now, you can't see it on this slide, but I wonder what the expression Jesus had on his face when the disciples went to him and said, send the crowd away. What do you picture Jesus had on his face? Was it like one of agreement? Oh, crumbs, yeah, it's getting late. Frustration, pity. You know what? I think he had a twinkle in his eye and a little mischievous smile. Because then he says, you give them something to eat. Now, do you hear that? What tone do you hear? You know, you go and give them something to eat. Or, you give them something to eat. You know what? I think it was an encouraging tone. Go on. You go and give them something to eat. With a little mischievous smile on his face. But they didn't get it. They're so encouraging, these disciples, because I'm forever not getting it. And they answered, we've only got five loaves and two fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. And then there's a little bit in brackets that says, there were 5,000 men there. Now, because it says men, the scholars think probably there's about 15,000 people there. Hungry people. People needing shelter. No wonder the disciples said, send them away. There was just too much need for the resources they perceived they had. But then Jesus says, or we read, have them sit down. He gets alongside them. Little coaching session. Sit them in groups of 50. And the disciples did so, and everyone sat down, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, looking up to heaven, and blessing the fish, he gave thanks and broke them. Wow. He looked up to heaven. Bless the fish, and then he broke them. I don't quite know what happened, but I'd love to have had it filmed. And then he gave them to disciples to distribute to the people. And they, it says they all ate and were satisfied. And then it goes on and says, the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. That was just so that we know how satisfied the people were with this miracle. There was an extravagant overflow when they gave Jesus what they had, and the above and beyond overflow in the heart of God was revealed. They'd rustled up 5 loaves, 2 fish between them, but afterwards each went away with a basketful. That's why there were 12 baskets. This was a moment for the disciples, not just for the 5,000. This was a moment where, as they were faithful, God's miracle-working hand was at play. Jesus didn't need to do that, but he was making a point. You give me a little, and a lot will be returned to you. A crowd in a desolate place is the description. Isn't that like a picture for the time we're in right now? At the beginning of the pandemic, Guy Miller, who runs our network of churches, had a dream. And in it, he saw 2 great tsunami waves. The first destructive wave was COVID. But in his dream, there was a much bigger, more destructive wave afterwards. And you know, the second wave is about to hit. Fuel bills, food costs, heating costs, strikes, job insecurity, recession, international turmoil, war, migration. And to top it all, the loss of our Queen. A reliable, stable, shining light in our land. Now, there are many who will have an I'm all right, Jack attitude. You know, sadly, the wealthy will, on the whole, be affected much less than the poor. But do you know, a crowd is growing that find themselves in a desolate place, hungry, needing shelter, and it's beginning to get dark. For the next 18 months, many will be looking for answers, I think, and we can be like the disciples and look at our meager resources and say, send the crowd away. Go fend for yourself. Find your own lodging and food while we withdraw to be with Jesus. Or we can hear Jesus say to us, you give them something to eat. You go and serve the crowd. So this is a challenging word. For me, it's so challenging for me, I almost didn't bring it. But it's challenging for all of us, I think. I want to come back to this story in a minute. But I want to just spend a couple of minutes changing tack. Is that all right? To park what we've just said, that story, let me just change tack and outline some of the vision for the next 12 months and perhaps some of the ways that we already are and will be serving the crowd. Is that all right? This is the little snapshot. It's not, you know, not all the details, but little snapshot. So we're calling it a year of discovery, a year to go above and beyond into blessing. That's what we're calling it. Next week, we're going to be celebrating 20 years of God's goodness to Jubilee, and then the following week, we want to look at the broadest sense about the leadership sort of structures in the church. Week on week, our kids are served by wonderful leaders. We have amazing worship leaders, growth group leaders, illuminate leaders, serving those with additional needs. There are those leading the way in the ministry of fostering, adoption. There's leaders of our Sunday lunch program, leaders, especially the brilliant youth leaders who met us yesterday, serving at the Den or Jabal Youth. We want to celebrate all the wonderful leaders in Jubilee and what they do to serve the church and serve the people outside the church. That's what we're wanting to do next Sunday. But we also want to appoint a new elder. And I'm pleased to announce that the person we want to appoint is Neil Newman. Oh, the wrong slide. There we are. There's Neil Newman and Leslie. Neil and Leslie have been in the church for years. In fact, Neil was somebody who we were considering to be an elder before he went to America on a long holiday for 4 years with his work. Rich heritage. Neil exudes personal qualities we read of in the Bible. Just go to Titus, 1 Timothy, 1 Peter. Brings many gifts to the church. Also is going to serve as a trustee. When we consulted the church about developing the eldership, Neil's name was consistently one that was mentioned. And through a process of discussion and prayer, conversations, consultation, all sorts of stuff, we felt it was good to put his name to Mark Langer-Smith, who's our apostolic sort of supporter, advisor, and he met with Neil and Leslie just a couple of weeks ago. And so the final part of the process is for us to put it to the church and for us to know if there's any reasons why he shouldn't be. We think he should be. If you know any reasons why he shouldn't be, if you've met, you know, his other wife or his whatever, then we need to know that, okay? And so it's an opportunity these next couple of weeks to share any reasons why he shouldn't be before we appoint him next Sunday week as an elder amongst us. We think he is eldering amongst us. If you knew what Neil and Leslie do in the background, and they just forever caring for people, so appreciate Neil's wisdom. And so you can send me positive, you know, messages as well, not just negative messages, but I'm not anticipating any of those. But seriously, if there are reasons we need to know, this is an opportunity. That's how we do it, isn't it, over the years at Jubilee. So I'd love us to get behind in prayer Neil and Leslie as they make this big jump, and Nathan and Rick and I and the trustees as well. It's a big step for us, and it's the first step that we're going to make of many, I think, in this regard. But I just wanted to say that now and for us to pray these next couple of weeks. Is that all right? Good. Lots of nods. I'm pleased. Then just quickly, in October, we're going to be discovering afresh what makes Jubilee Jubilee by looking at our vision and culture. We just love it that there's many people who've come just these last little whiles, and we wanted to be really sort of clear. This is what makes Jubilee Jubilee. This is our values and our culture. Throughout the year, we also want to give some time to discovering together just how we can best respond to some key cultural things that are happening at the moment around sexuality, around the environment, identity, disability, all sorts of things like that. There's a need, I think, for us to explore some of these areas together, be clear in our own minds about it. So that's an exciting thing that's going to be happening through the year. Later part of November is a townwide mission. Early November, we're going to be preparing for it. Nathan has a vision for 100 kids in this hall as a Halloween alternative, 50 from Jubilee, 50 not from Jubilee. And as he said it, faith rose up in my heart. That's great. We want to have other events. We're looking at Christians in Sport and other events where in the beginning of November, we can begin to reach out to our community. Esther did a wonderful event in the Fox Pub at the part of the last Rethink mission in 2018. And we're looking at all sorts of events like that that we can then use to encourage people to come to the mission that's going to be led by Glenn Scrivener, and it's going to be a series of events in the last 2 weeks of November, two special Sundays. One of the Sundays is going to be here at Weydon School up in the sports hall, where all the churches in Farnham are going to gather together. It's going to be a wonderful event that we are able to serve the whole Christian community in Farnham at and with. And it's going to be a significant moment. I'm actually praying that it will be the most significant gospel advance in Farnham for 3 decades. It was great in 2018. up to 2018, in our 20 years, there'd never been a mission in the town. So I'm believing this is going to be a significant moment in our town. And all this will build towards Christmas, which I want us to discover fresh ways to communicate the wonderful message of Christmas. It's going to be a stepping stone towards Christmas. I'm really excited. I think there's so many things happening at this point that I feel inadequate to really communicate it. I'm excited that through the autumn, we're also going to be working with other churches and urban saints, and Nick Curry, the head of RE and the school here, to look at recruiting a town-wide youth evangelist to help churches reach young people. And I'm thrilled to say that funding for that has been secured for 2 years to make it happen. I mean, praise God's blessing is coming upon us. I've become a FCCT trustee again to work with Andy. And I don't know if you know, but Rebecca is also... she's gone. She's with Lizzie. Rebecca is also an FCCT trustee now. And Jubilee is having a major impact on bringing people together. Ben Wills is significant in churches working together. God's hand of anointing is upon us to bring the Christian community in Farnham together. And God is anointing us in that. We're a key catalyst, I think, for what is going to be happening through this town as a real a blessing of God upon it. Wednesday, pray for me. I'm getting all the church leaders together to have a retreat to pray and to think and to plan the retreat, the mission that we're doing in November. Do pray for me, because I believe God's hand is on Farnham at this time. Pray for Bob Pete. He's a Jubilee, and he chairs the Waverley Abbey Trust Board, and they're going through a wonderful transition with Pete Gregg and 24/7 prayer. It was a wonderful event on Monday night. Oh, you guys were there as well, weren't you? And it was a wonderful moment where you just sensed God's hand is on this area. Waverley is going to become an international place of prayer. People from right around the world are going to be coming to our back door to pray for the nations. That's going to have an impact on our town. The hand of blessing is upon Farnham at this time, I believe. It's going to become, if the vision is fulfilled, the first degree-awarding Christian university in the country. It's a big vision for that place where we can send kingdom-inspired, gospel-soaked civic leaders, lawyers, accountants, media people, psychologists, every discipline into our nation to be salt and light and yeast to change the culture. Amen? I mean, big things happening in our town at this time. And I'm pleased to say also that the revamp of WCC is finally going to happen. I think we're going to happen. You know, you will no longer have to wash your clothes after having been there because you smell. And we're looking at it to happen in January. And I'm excited with the ideas the interior designers have suggested. It's going to totally transform the place into a welcoming hub for the community. Over the last couple of years, we've had significant prophetic words from different people in the church about the place gathering people. And I think this will be a year to discover how best to do that. It'll become a lovely place, not just because of the changed acoustics and decor and new design, new furniture, but because the crowds are looking for Jesus. And I believe they're going to find him there. Yvain has been blaze trailing with the den, but do you know what? It's going to become a vibrant hub where the community are gathering and they're finding Jesus. I believe it. God's with us in it. Not only did we receive £15,000 last year to do the work, but over the summer, Quinton came to me and said, look, do you need some kitchen stuff? And he helped us source a whole load of free professional catering equipment to go into it, and which was a real joy to see from Charterhouse, which is wonderfully blessed us with that. And also, we had somebody from outside the church say, look, I really want to stand with you in this. I'll give you a real low interest loan to do all of the work rather than do it in stages. So, I mean, we have had God's hand of blessing upon us to be able to transform that place. And I'm believing that even in these hard financial times, that our annual gift day in January will be the biggest and most generous ever so that we can pay off that loan. That's what I would love. That's my prayer. And you know what? There's some people who've got lunch boxes that they want to keep for themselves in case they get hungry, who are going to find such joy as they give them to Jesus and find he gives them a hamper back. It is going to be an exciting time in January, I tell you. And as we come out, as we came out of the pandemic, are you all right? Are you with me still?
Yeah.
Okay, good. As we came out of the pandemic, we used the image of caterpillars transforming to butterflies. Do you remember that? You know, those pictures that we used. The imaginal cells, do you remember those? They're cells that transform the caterpillar soup in the chrysalis to the structures of the butterflies and encourage people to get their imaginations going sparking these new things into place. And you know what? Faith was rising at that time. And particularly, I noticed a theme where there was this expectation or assumption that people would come to us. But there was a change to that we need to go to where the people are. And I remember going to walk with Paul actually and saying, oh, what we need is a coffee van. And you know, that little, I said, oh, yeah, what do you mean a coffee van? And I'd love to come up here. We were on a walk with Adrian Paula and love to have a coffee van because we could love to just serve coffee and be able to meet people and share with them the love of God. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be great to do that? So I've plucked it away there. And do you know what? Other people, Ben and Esther, inspiring, talking to them about how they want to reach out to their friends in the community. But they have a challenge. All their friends do sport on a Sunday morning or are at the food market or at a boot market. What do we do? How do we reach our community where, you know, if you went into town now, you would not believe how buzzing it is. Now, I mean, obviously you're not in town because you're here and you don't know that. Apart from those of you who sneak off, I know some of you there. We've got to discover ways to reach people, haven't we? We've got to go and find the people. We don't want to send them away. We want to go and find them. And so we've got lots to discover in this next year. So much so, I want to gather a little group, Ben and Esther, to work out how we start reaching out and what we do to minister the love of God into different contexts that we find ourselves in. I'll tell you what, if you have never shared the gospel with anybody for a few years, go and sit with Esther and she will inspire you. Okay, she's our evangelist. She's going to hate me now. She's also sort of my boss as the chair of trustees, so I'm on dodgy ground here. So please do pray this week. But the Ben and Esther are inspired. Talk to Jane. She has a heart for the lost. There's other. Talk to Yvain. Talk to Hayley. There's people amongst us that have got a passion to see the lost reach. And you know what? We've got to discover ways that we make that happen. We haven't had anybody come, maybe in the kids and the young people, we haven't had any adults come to faith for a number of years in Jubilee. And it's exercising, Rick and Nathan and I and Neil. We really want to see people being saved. It's time. I really believe it. Then we go into 2023, and I believe Easter's going to be a big moment across the town. We've got Spring Away, Waverley Woods is confirmed. Yeah. I was at this dinner on Monday night, and Pete Gregg came up to me, and he said, oh, Sean, when's your weekend happening then? And I thought, oh, great, it must have got there somehow, my emails and whatever. So anyway, we're going to be up the woods, which will be wonderful. We've got the carnival, we've got New Day Festival. In the summer, we've got the Commission Festival as well. Momentum is building, folks. We've come out the pandemic, we've settled, we've got us into our stride again. And do you know what? We're in for an exciting time this next year. Am I communicating that? I feel it in my heart. Hopefully I'm communicating that. We're calling it a year of discovery, a year to go above and beyond into blessing. Can we go back to the story just before we break bread together? I love that the story is one of the synoptic gospels. If you don't know the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're books in the Bible that tell similar stories in a similar tone. The same stories are described by different people, so you get different layers to the stories. It's a really encouraging thing. Some people see it, you know, well, that story isn't the same as that, so it's a negative thing. But for me, it's a really positive thing. You know, you get three people to describe anything, and it will always be slightly different. And so this story is in the different synoptic gospels, and you see it, different nuances coming from it. It's a bit like a, you know, one layer cake is great, you know, but a three layer cake, you know, it's great, even greater. Anyway, in Mark's version of the story, we see a layer, and he says this to them. He says, gather around Jesus, and it says, he gathered around Jesus and reported to him what they had done and taught. So I just got ahead of myself there. And next Sunday, what we've taught and done. But in a sense, it's not just about what the church is doing. I think we're entering a season where each of us are going to report back. There's one thing, the church reporting back, as we're next Sunday doing. But do you know what? Each of us in this room who's a disciple is going to give a report back to Jesus. If it's ministry as a parent who, Jesus, stay at home, look after little ones. Every meal served, every little Bible verse taught, every prayer prayed before bed is ministry. If you're in the workplace and you stand up for the values of the Bible, you're involved in ministry. Ministry isn't just what Rick and I do. Every student who's at college or at school stands up for Jesus is in the ministry, I believe. We're all in the ministry. Do you believe that? We are all ministers. We are all ministers of God's goodness and grace. And we're all going to give account. And don't you, on that day when you report back, you give account, you want his well done? Do you? He's going to give it to so many of you. And this little passage shows us three things that I want to finish with. Three ingredients for how we get a well done when we report back to Jesus. First thing is that, to be clear, that he calls us. These disciples, they laid down whatever they were doing because they'd heard the call of God. And I think today, some of you are hearing the call of God afresh to do something. It's amazing that God chose to take on human flesh and to speak to those disciples in a physical body that we read in the scriptures. But it's also amazing that God comes by his Spirit to speak and call us now. So even today, God is calling you. This is a moment of calling of everybody in this room. And you know what? As I've been speaking, some of you have known like bubbles in your tummy or a quickening in your spirit or however you describe it. And you know what? That is the Spirit speaking to you and calling you right this moment. But do you know what? Before we go to the third ingredient, which is to be sent, there's a second one. He doesn't just call and send, he equips the disciples. He gave them power and authority, it says. And what he was calling them to do, he simultaneously was equipping them to do with supernatural power to pull it off. And that's really important for us as we enter into this next phase. And the good news is for you and for me is if we've got a dream, that's way over our head, if we feel called to do something that we just don't have the money for, the time for, the gifting for, the talent for, the connections for, the good thing is that Jesus doesn't call people who are already equipped. He calls people, and for the people who say yes, he equips them with all you need for the calling he gives you. He entrusted them with power and authority. You see, it's most important for us to accomplish supernatural tasks You have to have supernatural capacity. Sorry, hard sentence. be better if I'd written it better in my notes here. What it means is that if you're the most gifted, talented person, you will not achieve God's calling in your own strength. But the enemy would love you to go out on your own strength. And we do have an enemy wanting us to do it in our own power. He hopes we'll think that we're talented enough, savvy enough, impressive enough to do it on our own, in our own strength. He is all for that. He hopes we won't need to lean into God, but instead we'll lean into our own understanding. Are you making the connections with the story here? The crowd's too big. Send them away. It's not by power but might, but by the that God is going to accomplish things. Some trust in horses, some in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. He called them, equipped them, and he sent them. And this is a calling, equipping, and sending day. Because he sends us. It might be into our homes, into our schools, into our workplaces, into Sainsbury's, into our community. It may be on new adventures that we're going to be looking at to reach out to people. It may be as part of Weydon Christian Centre reforming. Wherever he's sending us, it's him who is sending it. We don't want to be there too soon. We don't want to just, you know, gallop off, you know, before we've heard him say. He is sending us and we want to be in line with him. And do you know what? We want to be listening and discovering where he's sending us. And that's what this is happening this year, because it's about him. It's not about us. It's not about our meager resources. It's about us coming and bringing our meager resources to him and him putting his hands on them and breaking them and seeing a miracle happen. You know, it's above and then beyond is what we've got to go into in this next year. Oh, look, I've run over. I need 5 more minutes. Oh, Heidi's saying no. I'll look at Rick then. Oh, no, I won't look at it in case he's saying no. One final little thing. I'll tell you what, we're not going to break bread. I'm just going to say one final thing, because I noticed this in this scripture, if you just give me the grace, is this. It says this, but many people were coming and going, and they didn't even have a chance to eat. The disciples, some of them were knackered and exhausted. They gave a good account and they came back, and you know what it says? They hadn't even eaten. And Jesus says, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. The disciples up morning to night doing tasks that Jesus had assigned them and equipped them to do, and they were diligent about, so much so that when they came back, they gave account to him. And Jesus recognized their exhaustion. And he saw that they were tired and they hadn't even had time to eat as they'd been busy. And he says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And I just wonder whether there's some people here today who can give good report, because there's so many so faithful people in Jubilee, but who need to hear Jesus saying, come to me to a quiet place and get some rest. And the good news is that Jesus, good news about Jesus, when the disciples come and say they're tired, he doesn't say, go away and get yourself sorted out, get it all together and then I can use you. He says, come in all your brokenness and weakness and frailty, come away with me, he says. In other words, the cure for our exhaustion, our spiritual malaise, or whatever it is connecting with Jesus. And he's calling some people. Just saying that, come to me. Come to me. Yeah, take holidays and have, you know, be smart about our time, our rhythms of life. But more than anything, if we're the weariness in our soul, Jesus says, come to me. As a deer pants for the water, we would have our thirst quenched. But the story isn't about the 5,000 and the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, what we have in our hands. Can be a gift. The multitude. But do you know what? I think this story says that the multitude is a gift to the disciples. Without the multitude, the disciples would have never have seen the miracle. The disciples, in the end, were fed. And went away with buckets, loads of bread and fish. Because it's the multitude that's going to make us open up our lunch boxes and give it over to the multiplying master, who's going to show us what it looks like when he takes our little bit and makes it a lot. So it's a year of discovery, folks, a year to go above and beyond into blessing. The year to go above, where we discover a fresh personal spiritual dynamism, each of us, and blessing from above. And we go beyond to discover many new opportunities for ministry, discover more elders, new leaders, new gifting, discover new ways to reach our community with WCC, new ways to reach young people, discover new ways to collaborate across the town for mission, even discover new ways to tackle tricky topics. It's a year of discovery about the above and beyond blessing of Jesus for us. And as we respond to his call, as we become supernaturally equipped, as he sends us to bring hope and sustenance to the crowd who are waiting in a desolate place, watching it get darker, a miracle is going to happen. Amen? Let's stand. I want us just to respond with I'm going to pray. We've run out of time. But I just want to pray for three things. One is the weary. I just want to pray a blessing upon you. Secondly, I want to pray that we discover a fresh personal blessing for each of us. And thirdly, I want us to discover a fresh call that Jesus might be giving to us now. And I'm going to pray that, and then I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to work in our hearts, because we do need to close our time. I also want to just mention that there's some tables at the back today, and we do have some needs for people to serve in these next time. Particularly, we need some people to do setup. We need some more people to serve in the kids and youth, and that's it. And so as we're just praying now, if you feel, do you know what, it's time, I'm going to get involved. I'm feeling a sense of call. It might be God's even calling you just to get on the setup team. Offer to help with the kids' work or with the den or youth. And if you just feel that prompting, there's people at the back going to sign you up into those roles. The rest of the roles we're all right at the moment for, but there's a particular need at the moment, and we'd really love you to do that. Is that all right? Lord Jesus, I just come to you at the end, thankful for your faithfulness, thankful for how you speak through your scriptures and through things that happen. Thank you for that story of the 5,000, and we thank you for how it taught the disciples such truth. Not only was it self-evident that there were many in a desolate place in need, but I thank you that you taught the disciples about your miracle working hand. And so we want to come to you now. Lord, I pray those who are weary, that you would welcome them. As they come to you, may they find rest. May they find a replenishing of their souls, I pray. Lord, those who have just a quickening in their spirit about a sense of call, I pray, Lord, may they seek you and find that call and find your equipping, I pray. And Lord, for all of us in this year of discovery, I pray, may we come to you, the one above, and be stirred to go beyond what we could even dream of, knowing your utter extravagant blessing upon us at this time. And we just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. How I would love to spend a time praying now. Perhaps we could do that in our groups this week. How I'd love to be ministering to you, but we've run out of time. If you want to be prayed for, then I'm really up for praying for people. I'm in the mode. But parents, you need to go and get your kids, and please apologise to the dear kids workers who've been serving them so well. God bless you. See you next week. Please don't be late next week. It's going to be a packed house. We've got Hope coming over and Borden. So God bless you all, and see you next Sunday.